pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 1065. This is the internet struggles here at the State House. It's funny. Assuming you can hear me right now, it says it's sending. But the state lays all this rural broadband and the struggles of the internet here in their own building leave much to be desired. Anyway, 251-343-0106 if you want to be in touch. There we go. I see us kind of popping back up here. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text. Still to come on the program here in about 30 minutes, State Senator Andrew Jones will be with us from Cherokee County. In that 11 o'clock hour, Brett Easterbrook from Washington County in our neck of the woods. We'll probably talk a little bit about Highway 45, I would think, with Representative Easterbrook. And then finally, one of the bigger names, Arthur Orr, will be with us, a friend of mine from Decatur. My day's up in Huntsville, but also the chairman of the Education Budget Committee. He's scheduled to be with us at 11:30, so please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, we get him on whenever about once a year when I do this thing in the State House. We tend to talk about things maybe not as interesting to this listening audience, but that's why you call it the Jeff Poor Show. It's interesting to me. But State Representative Jeff Sorrell's here with us here. By the way, we are in Montgomery. I think I mentioned that with the struggles of the internet. But Scott Stadhagen always puts us up in his conference room, and we're very appreciative of that. The House Majority Leader, Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me this morning. Love getting the opportunity to sit down and talk with you.
Yeah. So, well, tell us how's the session going for you? It's that kind of halfway-ish point. We're at the breaks, 2 weeks, but a 3-day week this week. Y'all were in session for a little while this morning. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. We've had some good success. Seen some things passed. We actually passed some good bills this past Tuesday. We passed 4 tax cut bills. One that I think a lot of people in Alabama were very proud to see was when we started the grocery tax cut. And, we initially came in and removed 1 cent, and the bill was geared toward an increase in the education trust fund of 3.5% to do another one. And naturally, the way things had shaped up, it didn't happen last year. But we went ahead on Tuesday and passed the bill in the House to go ahead and remove another cent. So that way we've pulled 2 cents off the gas tax. And I think that
tax, was, yeah.
A grocery tax. Yes. Thank you.
Well, I guess the it's a trade-off for the overtime tax.
It is. I mean, I think the overtime tax ended up being like $238 million liability. And these tax cuts that we've put in on Tuesday basically will come up to about $191 million. So it kind of phases in, and it helps a broad group of people in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, it's, I guess, certainly more broad than the overtime tax. But that overtime tax exemption was very popular. But it didn't get as much pushback when y'all passed those bills yesterday. So it sounds like it just had overwhelming support.
It did. I think most of them passed with overwhelming support. And I was kind of surprised that there was not more debate about the overtime bill.
Same.
But there was very little debate about that.
No, it's an interesting era here, Speaker Ledbetter. I mean, it's you definitely sense it much different than when Speaker McCutcheon was here. But he gets a lot of big votes. Just a lot of big vote totals, and without sort of much. Used to be a lot different, and now things sort of happen a little more efficiently.
They do. They really do. Speaker Ledbetter's done an outstanding job. And I think where he does his best work is bringing both sides together and sitting down at the table and listening and talking and, working things out before you ever hit the House floor. And that's a very positive, and he does a wonderful job at it.
Now, to indulge me, listeners, but one thing I like to talk about with you when you come on, there's a I think, a very important road in your district that connects, I would say, the Gulf Coast, Panama City Beach, and it kind of meanders through the Florida Panhandle Highway, Florida State Highway 79. But when it hits the, when it gets to I-10, it narrows to two lanes, and it's two lanes all the way up to, four lanes for a little while around Enterprise, but for the most part, it hits Troy, Alabama. But a lot of people use that for beach traffic, but an evacuation route. And the idea is someday that ultimately the hope would be from Troy south all the way to I-10, and the Florida Department of Transportation wants to work with the state of Alabama to get this done. There's been some resistance to that over the years, but I was just talking to you over the break. Katie Britt being from there and that highway running through Enterprise, her hometown, it's got some movement.
It does. I think we're seeing some movement on getting parts of that done initially. She is a strong advocate for that highway. That highway could be a game changer for a really rural area in Geneva County. We have an industrial park that sits on 167 in Geneva County that's constantly growing. Our county commission down there has options on 300-plus acres right behind that industrial complex that could be purchased. And it would do a lot for a rural area and a rural Geneva County. But we're seeing a little federal money pour in now for that project. And it's a project that I've fought for and worked for well over 20 years. It's just something that we're constantly pushing, and the wheels turn slow sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, I was telling you for years, I mean, that was like one of the ways we would go down to Panama City Beach, and particularly if you're heading west toward the Walton County beaches or whatever, you could go that way as well. And there was always a lot of traffic on it. It just sort of made sense. It's just in the state right now, over the last 10, 15 years, there's been a real kind of reluctance to build these four-lane highways to the state line because the perception is, well, it's not really traffic that, the people who are living here and paying taxes, it's not really serving them. We'll focus on building a double-decker interstate highway through the middle of downtown Birmingham or whatever, and it's just kind of some of these things have fallen by the wayside.
Yeah. Well, and I see the exact opposite of that, really, far as what's going on right now in these rural areas along the state line, especially in Florida. I think that property taxes are pretty high in Florida, and I think you're seeing some influx of people coming across back into Alabama. And then we're seeing in our county, anytime a small tract of land goes up for sale, it doesn't last long.
Really?
And it's people that are moving in from outside that are coming down here because they really seems to be a move toward, let's get in the rural area and let's be a part of rural Alabama. And so that's what we're seeing right now in everything. I do a lot of banking in Hartford in our small town, and so I see these things when they come, to either borrow money to build on or, opening up accounts and that thing. So it's just it's a tremendous, tremendous move right now, I think, by a lot of people moving into rural areas.
Well, and, you don't want to turn it into not everybody wants the growth we have in Baldwin County or where I grew up, Shelby County, but you do want to be able to get places, right? I mean, that's just, we don't need to necessarily conflate growth with infrastructure improvements.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. But that's sort of, the mentality there, but it's just kind of an interesting thing when we have these discussions. We can talk about that. The other one you mentioned, I guess y'all are finally getting that four-lane highway built to Dothan now. That's kind of the main hub for the Wiregrass. Was it the mayor of Dothan tells me, during the day, the population of Lake Dothan goes up by like 33% because everybody goes to work and then they go back to, you know, home, wherever it may be outside of Houston County or Dale County or Geneva or Henry County or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, getting Highway 52 four lane is going to be tremendous for Geneva County. They're really working hard. You know, that's one thing I can say. ALDOT has really poured the effort into getting this thing done. They're almost to Slocum, which was about a 6 to 8 mile run. And then once they get through with that, they'll move from Slocum to Hartford. And that'll take in a good chunk of Geneva County with the four lane access into Dothan.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where the real push was to connect the two, 167 and 52 there in Hartford to be a connection of four lane access. So it's just something we've kept pushing for and kept working for and are finally seeing a little bit of it come to pass.
Well, the idea of 167, not that you need a quick trip to the beach, it's that I-10 connectivity, Interstate 10, you know, that's from Jacksonville to L.A., right, as we talk about all the time with the Mobile Bay Bridge. But you would have sort of easy access to that, and that's really where the opportunity lies.
It does, and really you're talking about economically, because absolutely, that's when you see businesses come, when they've got that access to a major, you know, interstate that they can move their products.
And that would have to be done in tandem with the state of Florida, but they have their, you know, they have their reasons for wanting to do this.
Yeah.
And they're like on board.
Well, we're in constant contact with Florida. We'll meet with them, you know, at least once or twice a year, just to let them know where we're at, and then also to see where they are, and basically they're the Boniface, so they're waiting on us.
It sounds like it's going to happen. It's just I'm here. I am in my late 40s, and you know, they've been talking about it since I was in my teens doing it, but here we are, and we're going to. I think it just looks like it's on the verge of happening, right?
I hope. We're very hopeful that is the case, and I think it is. I think these people moving down in this area, we had a meeting with the Florida Department of Transportation and some economic developers a couple of years ago, and they were telling us that they fully expected over 1 million people to move into the Florida Panhandle.
Yeah, and it's been years since Senator Chestein and I talked about that, but that was one of the things he said. Just the growth of the beaches and people moving down there, and then the threat of a hurricane and needing to get people away from the coast. You have a lot of back roads and things like that, but, you know, having lived in Destin, and then my wife and I lived in Tallahassee for a while as well, and knowing they have one year they evacuated the entire state of Florida. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it literally was like gridlock through like all these little small towns along the Florida Panhandle. And that's a massive undertaking, trying to pull people off that entire peninsula. And it was just like, they need these projects as much as we need them in Alabama.
Exactly. Exactly, to be able to move people. And when you can open up four lanes moving north instead of just two lanes, it makes a tremendous difference.
Yeah. Well, what do you expect rest of the session, Representative?
Well, we've got some things that are going to be coming up that will be some, you know, pretty good items, heavy lifting.
We still got to get past the budgets. That's always sort of
I think the budgets, the general fund budget will be up in the next couple of weeks, and go ahead and get it done here in the House. You know, it starts in the House this year. Education starts in the Senate.
So take turns every year.
It swaps every year. So I think that'll happen. There's a couple other bills out there that I expect to have some heavy debate on. You know, we had a pretty good debate on the veterans bill.
Yeah, that one had our audience just consumed for a while. But I mean, the governor got what she wanted out of it. So
I think it was a pretty good bill. I think they got the people to the table. You know, sometimes you can't look at the first version of a bill that comes out. There's work to be done on when you bring everybody to the table and then everybody agrees, and then you work through the situation, and that's what happened with this bill.
Well, and it's just it was a tough drama there that still, I don't know, that was going to take a little time for some people to get over, it seems like. Hey, Representative, we're up against a break here, but I'm always glad to get you on, and we can always talk about Highway 167 or whatever when you come on. But thanks for stopping by.
Well, thank you. Enjoyed it, as always.
State Representative Jeff Sorrels here. We got to get a break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all